Gucci. Hey, y'all. Mike Missanelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the Wyclef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. Well, we got some to talk about today because they are still alive as we thought they would be after that game against the Redskins and their flawed quarterback situation. The Philadelphia Eagles win yesterday 28 to 13. 13. I was off on my prediction, folks. I apologize. I said it would be 27 to 14. I'm not going to get any accolades for that at all. Of course, when people wait for me to be wrong, you're not going to say, hey, nice call on that, Mike. But it's not about me today. It's about the Eagles. Because the first time all year, I saw a viable team yesterday. I saw a team that was orchestrated well on offense, that played hard on defense. Now, this is the only question you have to answer now. They beat the Giants and the Washington Redskins, two lesser than teams. So what does it tell you? Does it tell you in the big picture they can go into Dallas and win that game? Does it tell you they can go into L.A. and make that a viable game? Does it tell you they can beat the Houston Texans at home? These are all pertinent questions on what you saw last night. Now, I'm not sure you can get a total read because that other team you knew wasn't going to come back on the Eagles. They weren't capable of scoring enough points with Colt McCoy, much less Mark Sanchez, who knew about seven plays in that playbook yesterday. So the Eagles, a comfortable win yesterday. You didn't have to sweat. But the first drive of the game sets the tone. They hadn't scored in the first quarter in five games. Boom, they come right down the field. Very balanced pass and run as well. I thought Doug Peterson called a tremendous first drive. And they got down the field and they took the lead. And that was about all that you know, all I needed. As soon as you take the lead on that Redskins, and they let him hang around. I get it. I don't know how that 90-yard run, Adrian Peterson, happens at all. I saw Sidney Jones flailing at him. They had some guys in the box and they opened the hole and that happens. But did you see enough yesterday to give you a little more encouragement than before the game when we were talking about this? Before the game, it was like, eh, I don't know, you know, I don't know what they are right now. I don't know if they can do this, blah, blah, blah. Did you see enough yesterday in a pretty complete performance that will enable you to breathe kind of easier as the Eagles go down the rest of this schedule? They have to obviously sweep the division. They have to get one win. Either it's the Rams, they have to beat the Houston Texans. And that'll get them to 9-7. And I think at 9-7, you're looking at either a wild card or a division championship. So we'll talk about it. I have some stats here that are pretty interesting. Carson Wentz, 27-39, 306. Eagles season high, 436 yards, 28 first downs. The running backs, 134 yards. Now that's 4.62 yards per carry. They put four drives together of at least 10 plays. That was really all good. Now, I know there are people that are going to pick on certain things about Doug Peterson. I'll get him out of the way right now, all right? Because I think he coached a pretty good game yesterday. But I'll get these out of the way because they have to be mentioned. Because in the first half, everybody was looking at him. All right, so first of all, there was a 3rd and 4 early in the game from their own 22. And he calls a run play to Darren Sproles on 3rd and 4. Inexplicable. I don't know. Like, where's the idea? Some of the ideas that gets into the guy's head are just befuddling to me. He hadn't carried the ball since week 1, and they give it to him on 3rd and 4. He's not a power back. So, all right. Second quarter, the Eagles get a first down at the 2-yard line, and they don't get it in. He throws to Jordan Matthews first, which I think he's trying to replicate a previous season touchdown. And then he goes to, it gets to fourth down, and he takes Ertz out of the game. And the announcers are saying, I'm surprised that Ertz isn't in the game. And like, when Ertz is in the game, you're thinking that maybe Ertz is a target for a pass. When you take him out of the game, you're kind of telling the defense, I think we're going to run the ball here. So even after a timeout, with no innovation at all, with no disguise, with no motion, they run Josh Adams and he gets stuffed. Inexplicable. Again, inexplicable call. A little later, Jim Schwartz is to blame, I think. They had him a 3rd and 30. Instead of pressuring the quarterback, maybe getting an incompletion, they go into that picket fence defense. They allow a 10-yard gain, and that makes the field goal a little easier. It's a 44-yarder instead of a 54-yarder in that situation. And then he called 2 timeouts when the ball was near midfield, enabling the Redskins to get those final 3 points going into halftime. And I didn't understand what he was doing there, because I guess if you've got him at the 20, you call timeouts. They were at the 45-yard line when he called the second. It was the second timeout they had taken, and he subsequently called the 3rd timeout. But they were close to midfield, so that aided the Redskins to get the points. And then finally, explain this to me. And maybe, you know, this is the analytical way of doing it, and I'm sure he had the analytical guys in his head. They score in the second play of the fourth quarter to put them up 20-13, right? They're up 7. 1 point makes it an 8-point game where that guarantees you at least the tie. In other words, it's guaranteeing you that you won't lose the game if you kick the extra point. Instead, he goes for 2, and I'm sure his analytic guys are going, Doug, you know, the percentage of going up 2 touchdowns at this stage of the game, and blah, 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 where 2 scores is that. So he goes for 2 scores, and they convert it, all right? So I'm complaining about something that actually worked, and that's probably out of line. But going up by 9 points, the risk is if you don't make it, you can lose the game. So the football side of it goes, all right, my instincts tell me I'd rather be up 8. I can't lose the game. The analytics people go, yeah, he's better to be up by 2 scores here. A little conflict. So, but that's all the complaints I have about Doug Peterson. And it had to be mentioned because I know people were talking about the same thing last night on social media today. So they win the game, and now it's Dallas. So, Tyrone, I'll ask you the fundamental question. Last night, did you get the impression that they are now totally ready for the rest of their season and can beat Dallas and maybe even can give the Rams a run and certainly can beat Houston? Or is this a victory diluted because of the opponent not having a quarterback that was viable?
Not diluted to me, because my concerns were more on the offensive side. I think that we know this defense isn't going to be a dominant defense, period. They're just not going to be. But the Redskins, and you mentioned, the issues with Sanchez in the game, mm-hmm. but the Redskins defense, that front 7's good. And the Eagles, by and large, did whatever they wanted to that front 7 all game. And to me, that's why I'm encouraged.
Because, what the 4-10 play plus drives would indicate that.
Yeah, they were moving the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, Carson made a couple mistakes. It could have been even worse. A couple weird play calls that you mentioned in the open. What I'm concerned about is they scored 28 last night. It could have been 30 plus. That's what I needed to see. I saw it, and while Dallas,
because they didn't score at the 2, and then he threw the interception.
Right.
So you're talking about a potential 2 more touchdowns
there. Or even 2 more field goals. Mm-hmm. That's 34.
Yeah.
And now we're closer to where we need to be game in and game out.
Yes.
And I was encouraged because of the offense versus a very good defense. Didn't get a lot of help, we know, but they were in it at halftime. Eagles took care of business offensively. I feel really good about the Dallas game, and I don't know what the line of 4 tells you. I don't know if it tells you anything, but it just gives me I have a gut feeling the Eagles have a real chance on Sunday.
Well, I think they have a chance, and we'll talk more about this as the week goes on. But Carson Wentz, I thought in the first half, even though he made a couple of blunders and he missed a couple of guys, on some errant throws that he had open. And of course, he throws the interception and the whole bit. But I thought out of the pocket, he was tremendous last night. I mean, he made 4 great plays rolling out of that pocket, rolling to his right, making throws. The throw where he waved Golden Tate down the field was a gem. And the stats would indicate that. He had a career high 100 yards passing outside the pocket last night. Also, he utilized play action better in this game than any time this season. 163 yards on play action passes yesterday for Carson Wentz. And he is now 3-1. You know, this clutch gene apparently is not in Carson Wentz, according to some people. 3-1 on Monday Night Football, that's a little bit clutch. And meanwhile, the Eagles have gone to 8-2 in their last 10 games on Monday Night Football. That's the most wins in the NFL on Monday Night Football since the 2013 season. How about that?
Wow. Okay.
Who knew that?
I didn't.
All right, so we'll talk about it. What did you see last night? And I know, listen, you got to take some points off. It was almost pathetic watching Mark Sanchez play last night. And it was equally pathetic watching Colt McCoy. They both stink. They both don't belong in the league. And Sanchez, not only does he stink, but he didn't know the playbook. So if they would have lost that game, I tweeted out this last night, 14-13 I tweeted, if they would have lost this game with Mark Sanchez as quarterback, it would go down in the worst as the worst loss in Philadelphia Eagle history. And a lot of people were saying, no, the Joe Webb game was the worst loss in Eagle history when Joe Webb beat him. But that was in cold weather. It was late in the season. The Vikings were still, you know, kind of viable, if I remember. I don't know. Maybe they weren't. But they losing to Mark Sanchez last night, imagine that would have happened. All right, we'll talk about it. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. You got to be a little more excited today than you were prior to this game. We'll talk about it. Mike Masinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the man who was on the sidelines last night, seeing it close up as the Eagles win again, 28-13. The offense was humming, especially on the first drive. Are they ready for the Cowboys? Are they ready to make this run? Let's bring in Sal Palantonio, ESPN's preeminent NFL reporter, and he is brought to us by Univest Bank. Financial solutions for your business. Sal, what was the atmosphere like down there last night?
Yeah, all my rowdy friends were down in South Philly.
Yes, they were.
It was kind of funny because, you know, the National Cognoscenti kind of shows up for Monday Night Football, and they're looking around at the stands, and it's about, I don't know, 30 minutes before the game starts, and there's a lot of empty seats, and one of them says to me, oh, going to be a lot of no-shows tonight. I said, listen, go out into that parking lot right now, because right now everybody's getting properly lubed up, you know, psychologically and physically for the football game, and there won't be an empty seat in the stadium. I guarantee you nobody is missing this game. And sure enough, lo and behold, the Eagles fans, you know, I don't think anybody sat down for that game last night. Very few people did. I was watching the crowd a lot. The fans were into it. Eagles fans are into this team. They are into it. The run has already started. You asked the question coming in, are they ready to make this run? The run's already started. And I agree with Tyrone. They beat Dallas. Look out. You know what I did today? I got on the horn to my travel agent and booked the flight to L.A. now. I guarantee you there won't be seats after that Dallas game on American Airlines.
The Eagle fans headed out there, huh?
Well, they were last year.
Yeah?
Hey, listen, what's a better place to be than L.A. in December? A little escape weekend, you know, invasion of the Eagles Nation. I'm telling you, if they beat Dallas, look out. This team will go right down the table. They will run it.
Oh, my God. They're going to run the table.
Mike, Houston. Are you kidding with Houston? Houston's going to come in here in December, 2 days before Christmas?
They're a pretty good team, Sal.
They're very good. They're very good. They play in the AFC South, Mikey.
Uh-huh.
And they're not going to want to come in here in December. They'll already have the whole thing locked up. They're not going to be able to go up or down in the conference, in their seed. No, I'm telling you. They beat Dallas.
Oh, my God.
They beat L.A.
You got 10 wins on the board.
They beat Dallas. If they beat Dallas, then they run the table. Done.
Wow. All right, let's look at some elements of last night. And he did two things very well, the quarterback. Play-action passes were money, and outside the pocket he was money. They moved the pocket a little bit. He made some great throws in the first half.
6 of 7 for 100 yards. more yards than he's thrown outside the pocket than his entire career, one single game. What the film heads like to call second reaction throws, move the platform. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And he was moving the platform, and he's always been very, very good before the injury. There really wasn't anybody better in the league in throwing accurately on the run. This is what impressed Ron Jaworski when they went up to North Dakota. That's the thing that impressed Doug Peterson and Jeff Lurie and Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas and the whole group of them that went up there, is that he could move well and throw on a dime outside the pocket, moving the platform, and he wasn't doing it. He was averaging 3 rushes per game going into this game this year. Last year it was 6.5, so it was about half. But now the swagger is back. And, you know, it was a reaction to what the Redskins did to him last year and did quite well, which is they would loop the defensive end into the A-gap and loop the defensive tackle on the outside and wreak havoc in his face. And they hit him. Despite the fact that he swept them last year, he got hit a lot against the Redskins in those 2 games, the Monday nighter here and the opener at FedEx. And when he saw that, it was evacuation time. Time to get out, and he hit Golden Tate 3 for 3 outside the pocket, according to Vincent J. Massey of ESPN Stats and Information. 3 for 3 to Golden Tate, 2 for 2 to Zach Ertz outside the pocket, and 1 to Nelson Aguilar. So Golden Tate is beginning to pay dividends because he can what? He can do this, Mike. He can work inside and out. He can move laterally. You got to plaster him constantly, and he's got those quick twitch muscles.
Mm-hmm.
That allows him to get free when Carson is improvising outside the pocket.
Yeah, that play down the left sideline was a beaut. All right, now, for the most part, I thought the head coach called a pretty good game. There were a couple weird, questionable calls there, but especially the first drive.
What was the weird
one? Well, the running play to Josh Adams there, 4th and 2, I didn't think was a great creative call.
Well, you also had a mistake. Somebody didn't block somebody because they had an unblocked defender that came right into Josh Adams' ribcage and around the 3-yard line, which was obviously a miscommunication on blocking assignments. I don't know whether it was Carson or... See, when you have an unblocked defender like that, a defensive end, mm-hmm. and it's an RPO, maybe Carson was supposed to pull the ball back into his belly because he has to account for the defensive end. So I don't know if it was a bad play call. I think the decision to go for it there when you're struggling to score points. Mike, you take
I agree. I thought the same thing before they went for it. Kick the field goal, put points on the board there. I totally agree. There was also a 3rd and 4 from their own 22 where he gives the ball to Sproles, his first carry, which I thought was a little questionable. But beyond that, the first drive was a thing of beauty, a mix of pass and run.
It really was. And if they're going to have that kind of balance with Josh Adams, they're going to be successful, and they're going to be successful against Dallas, and you can run on the Rams. But the bottom line is this, Michael. Carson Wentz can't make those kinds of mistakes down near the goal line.
Yeah.
Remember, Monday night was the 1-year anniversary of the loss in Seattle last year where Carson Wentz fumbled the ball on the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
So it was exactly 365 days ago that he made a similar mistake near the goal line. He can't have that, Mike. You can't. If he does that in Dallas, they're not going to beat Dallas. He's got to do a much, much better job of being cognizant of where he is and making plays down near the goal line in the red zone like that, or else they're going to lose to Dallas. They can't give the ball away like that. See, the thing is, every drive that they have, because they don't have explosive plays down the field, every drive is a lot of plays.
Right.
Which opens yourself up, you know, the risk of making a mistake because you have more plays than usual is much higher.
All right, what is the formula to beat Dallas then? What do they have to do in this game?
I think they got to play better run defense. They got to tackle. The problem is Jordan Hicks is, you know, I don't know what his story is. I got to find out what's going on with him this week. And it you know, I watched Nigel Bradham last night on that 90-yard touchdown run by Adrian Peterson. By the way, anybody who's stuck in traffic right now and listening to this, when you get home, pop open the laptop or go on ESPN Plus or whatever you're going to do and look at that play. There's such a blatant hold on the Eagles' middle linebacker, literally right in front of the referee's nose, that allowed Adrian Peterson to go free. That was a total fluke, aided and abetted by the referees. That should have never, ever happened. It should have been called back.
Yeah, okay. And Sidney Jones also made a bad play there as well. So he could have made a tackle. He didn't come up and make a tackle.
He could have, but he's Sidney Jones, and yeah. Adrian Peterson's an anvil on wheels.
Yes, he is. I get it. And he might get a little, you know, he might get a little short-armed on that kind of a play.
Yeah, yeah. And battling injuries, so probably it'd been a bit. Okay. And even if he does get to him, there's no guarantee he's going to bring him down.
True, that's true. All right, now,
Mike, the Redskins only made two plays in the game.
It was kind of a joke watching him try to play quarterback in that game. Not only is he bad, but he knows about 10 plays. So it was kind of a mercy killing. So I don't know what to take out. The last two games they played a bad Giants team, and they played a team that they knew wasn't going to be able to score or come back at them. So,
I would say that is true in general, but I think more specifically, the Eagles. You know, the Giants' defense is pretty good. It's not bad. And the Redskins' defense is pretty good. They've got some players, especially in the secondary, and they can rush the passer. And Carson was pretty clean last night, and they were able to have some balance on offense. So I think you are correct. There's no question you played a bad offense last night, and you should have destroyed them, and they did. But you played a good defense, and I think the way Doug called the game and the way it was executed on the offensive line and the balance that they had, and most important, that Carson Wentz's willingness to get outside the pocket and deliver the ball on time and accurately was a very, very encouraging sign.
Are you going to, can we send the message that we, you know, you're going to need to get heat on Dak Prescott? You want towards the blitz a little bit next week?
Sure. All right,
can we put that message out now?
Yeah, let's do it right now.
All right. The South Powell Football Hour tonight. You're in a new spot tonight.
We are at the Mifflin Tavern in South Philadelphia. And don't forget, Mikey, I'm at a brand new bookstore Friday night at the Center City, Shakespeare and Company. I don't know. I know you're a bookstore guy.
Oh, Shakespeare and Company.
There's a new one that opened up on Walnut Street in Rittenhouse Square. Shakespeare and Company started in Paris. There's two in New York on the east side. And now there's one in Philly. This is the first store in the United States outside of New York.
That's all. Listen, I think the Bard should show up and get one of your books.
It is a fabulous place. I've been in there a couple of dozen times. It's fantastic. It just opened up. I'm going to be signing books.
Did we lose
them? It for Christmas time, Michael.
Oh, a perfect Christmas book, the Sal Powell book. All right, brother. Sounds good.
All right,
have a good show. There he is, Sal Palantonio, tonight at the Mifflin Tavern, 1843 South 2nd Street in South Philly, presented by Sterling Vineyards and Behringer Wines, and is also brought to us, of course, by Univest, financial solutions for your business.
It's time for you to sound off.
Are you going to beef with me? What the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
To tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
Brought to you by Elkin Chevrolet on Route 73 in Marlton. Come see over 60 Chevrolet Silverados in stock and find new roads at Elkin Chevrolet.
Keep going. Sound off.
It's time for Sound Off. 610-771-9705. Hit us up on that Sound Off line. If you stayed up late last night after the game, I expect some reaction to the great Eagle victory last night. Let's see what we have on Sound Off.
Mike, you're such a homer. What we had last night was just one bad team beating another bad team.
Yeah, such a homer. I don't get what that means. I'm the one that's saying I don't expect the Eagles to go any further than getting into the playoffs and winning a division. Is that a homer?
I think angry in your Twitter poll was a little strong. I don't feel angry, but I feel a sense of disappointment because they should have put 40 up on that team last night.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, I guess they should have. You can't be perfect, though. They're not a perfect team. They're an imperfect team. So you have to allow for imperfections, like not punching one of those touchdowns in when they're at the two-yard line and the other being an interception that prevented another one.
I will say this. I've called in before, and I've hated on the defense. I've called in before, and I've paid respect to the defense for getting together. This week, I want to say that Jim Schwartz had his guys ready to play.
He did? Against who? Colt McCoy and Mark Sanchez? I don't want to cheapen the victory either, but come on, man. Does Schwartz get that much credit for facing those two quarterbacks?
For the love of God, I'll do anything to petition the Eagles to never play on Monday Night Football again. These announcers suck, and every 10 seconds they say something about Santa Claus from 90 years ago. Stop it.
Oh, he did it once. And he did early in the game. But the Eagles are 10-2 on Monday Night Football in their last 12. So you want them to keep playing no matter who the announcing team is, even if it's Tess and Witt and Booger.
You know, Mike, did it bother you that they also brought up the jail and the booing and running people out of town? They brought all that up,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I didn't even hear that part of it.
Yeah, they brought that up, too. Every cliche, they trotted out during the game.
Yeah, well.
I know you're awaiting my thoughts on last night's game. However, I'm just going to say that they're going to have to get those touchdowns when they're at the two-yard line against Dallas in order to win. But I think they can win as long as they play smarter and Dougie P makes some better play calls.
I agree. I agree with that. Yeah, against Dallas, you can't afford not to punch it in there. You can't afford fumbles. You can't afford turnovers. You have to get to the quarterback. All that's very pertinent.
The Eagles' offense is trending in the right direction going into Dallas, but the bigger question is the defense. Do you think it's a good idea to attempt to take away Ezekiel Elliott and focus our efforts on pressuring Dak and making Dak beat us?
Yes, I think that would be a wise thing to do. But how are you going to take away Zeke Elliott and then also take away Dak? You got to just play sound defense, all right? You got to try to get to the quarterback with some well-timed blitzes, get him off his spot. He panics a little bit. He gives up the ball. He fumbles a lot, so I get some hits on him.
Mike, I don't tell you, you're miserable. I became less optimistic after the Eagle win. And again, I'm a glass half-full guy, Michael. However, look who they played again.
That's
McCoy,
not true!
Sanchez. And they should have had 34, 37 points, Michael and Tyrone. They didn't.
You are miserable. Listen, they won the game comfortably. Okay, they squandered a couple touchdowns. It didn't matter last night. When it matters, then I'll be the first one to agree with you.
Mike, Tyrone, Natalie, especially you, Tyrone, you pointed out I had the only Eagles chant of the day yesterday. It only took 4 hours. And I told you, Mike, we're running now, baby. We're off. The birds are flying high. Let's go, baby.
All right.
Let's go.
All right. I like it. I like your optimism. 9-7. That's what I want to see. And a win over Dallas gets it done.
Explain this to me. The run isn't working at all. So what you do on fourth and goal is you're going to go ahead and take Zach Ertz, your biggest red zone threat, out of the game. So now the linebacker doesn't have to play the pass whatsoever. And the double team that Zach Ertz probably would have drawn is now completely void and can focus on the run. So stupid. This is 2 years ago, Doug. Fix it.
It wasn't the greatest play call, but there were also other receivers on the field. It wasn't like Zach Ertz was the only receiver they could put in the game at that point, and they were running the football well. Now, that's not a great play call there because they didn't have any disguise, didn't have any imagination to it. But that's what you focused on last night. All right.
After the Cowboys destroyed the New Orleans Saints, all the Eagle fans, all they did was off the next day talking about the hit to the head that weren't called, this call and that call wasn't called. You notice last night on the Eagles' first touchdown, Lane Johnson had a false start. He started back into protection about a minute and a half before the ball was snapped.
Yep. Yeah, I mentioned that today. Certainly, I tweeted it out.
Yeah, he was offsides. I don't know how they missed this, but they did, and the Eagles got the benefit of it.
What the hell is wrong with Doug P? Third and four in the first quarter, we're going to just run it between the tackles with Sproles.
All right, now, see, I'm done being calm right now. Let me just spaz out for a second. See, that is that dumb shit that I'm talking about. Every time we have the Sproles back, Doug P has to just act stupid and think he's more than what he is. That's why Sproles got hurt in the first place. Oh, my God. Yo, I can't take it.
Of all the good calls he made last night, you're going to let that one outweigh? I mean, the first drive was an impeccable series of play calling. Come on. All right, close it down, bro.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off.
Brought to you by Elkin Chevrolet on Route 73 in Marlton. Come see over 60 Chevrolet Silverados in stock and find new roads at Elkin Chevrolet.
Got a beef?
I don't like because I don't like
that brain. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
See you later.